much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed your meat. It was very good. I really am glad you're all here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
But do you have any idea how to dispose of a body?
I have many ideas.
Please tell me any.
Okay, off the top of my head, bury him in the woods.
No, we can't do that.
Set him on fire in a big pit.
Set him on fire in a big pit is what you said.
Acid bath.
Bud?
High temperature furnace.
Look at me. Do any of these sound like us?
You're right.
Thank you.
Let's just do this like civilized people and dump him in the East River.
Oh, you're not even listening to me.
It's the East River. Body dump capital of the world.
And now.
I have a pear. I have pineapple. Pineapple
pen. I've seen that. Don't get it, but I've seen it.
Our feature presentation.
Best song ever. Am I right?
Less
no.
Right.
Best
than,
song ever. That's what I'm saying.
More wrong than right.
But
by a little.
No.
Okay.
No. Dead wrong.
Agree to disagree. I think. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Tuesday morning, the 28th of March.
Raiders.
Right.
Raiders, baby.
So, that happened.
Yeah. That's sad for Oakland.
That's exactly what I was thinking. How much do you put a city through but to leave them twice?
Yeah.
I would be so mad if I were a lifelong Raiders fan and living in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck.
And I know that it happens. I have no idea of the history of this. I haven't tracked the moves. But does it seem like more franchises in general are moving in recent years than when I was growing up? Or no? Has it always happened? I'm just more aware of it now.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either.
This is the third NFL franchise to move in, a year and a half?
Right.
Which seems like quite a few. We've seen hockey teams move in recent years. We've seen NBA teams move in recent years. It's just you know, we had – Kevin, you were out, I think, but we had in the family that runs the Chargers had him on the Kevin and Bean show. And we were talking about how, you know, are these franchises different than other businesses? Would people cry if the Twinkie factory moved out of town, for instance? Probably not. But there is something that feels different when the business is something that you love.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're not rooting for Twinkies 3 days a week.
Right.
Well, Kevin might be, but
Bugs is right. But I mean, there is, but is it fair to put that on the people who own the team? I mean, that's the relationship, but they still have a business to run, and they are still like any other business in America, are allowed to go out and make their way and do the best they can with it, right?
I did see a tweet yesterday that made me go, "Ooh, yeah, I guess you're right." A lot of people that are like, "Oh, it's business, whatever." But those same people, when one of their players leaves, are like, where's the loyalty? What's up with you? But it's the grand scheme of things, it all is a business.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't care about any
of us. The Dolphins had Oakland's back. That was the only team that
talk about that because that's the vote, I guess we looked it up this morning. I didn't even know the details of this, but you need 75% of the teams. You need 24 out of the 32 teams, all right? So it was 31-1, and Chip's Dolphins are the ones who said nay. How come, Chip?
Shorten it down, I think Stephen Ross said that as a team in a city that's been there for so long, you owe it to your fans of that city to do everything you can to stick around.
Okay, so the question is, did the Raiders manage to do everything they can?
Yeah, he didn't think that the Raiders did enough to make sure that
they I'm sure they would say they did, because let's face it, all they wanted was $1.5 billion stadium, and there was no way they were going to get that in California. California just doesn't have the money. Nevada does.
Yeah,
and by the way, are you excited? Let me put you in this headspace. You live in Las Vegas. Are you excited to have an NFL team? I guess a lot of people would be because now they can go see the Cowboys.
Yeah,
and
I think that would be great.
Teams like that,
and I think a lot of people are going to travel now.
Sure,
to that city just to see teams they'd never be able to see before.
Yes, and for the. And I don't know why people still root for the Raiders in Southern California after what they put them through. But for those Raiders fans that remain here.
And there are a lot of them.
Yeah. How much easier is it to, and more fun is it to go to Las Vegas than to go to Oakland? I mean, it's so much closer, and you're in Las Vegas.
Basically the same city, those two. Right? No? Oakland and Vegas? No? Not the same?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I mean, if you're one of those older Raiders fans, you hop in your car and 4 hours later you're at a game to see the Raiders. You know what I mean? Or take a 1 hour flight. So
sure.
pretty good deal for them. I don't know. I wonder ultimately, I mean, the people in Nevada are on the hook for $750 million in public funds, by the way.
Oof.
And that's why it's in Nevada and not.
They made that off of beer mug this past weekend.
So they're going to be fine.
So to decide they're good.
So anyway, I'm sure there are a lot of heartbroken people, a lot of very, very happy people. But, I mean, we knew this was coming. But yesterday when you saw the news and you saw – at least it was the first time I had seen the words Las Vegas Raiders. It just felt so weird.
They weren't the Golden Raiders?
No.
Oh, too bad.
No. Las Vegas Raiders. So congratulations.
Yeah, I would say congratulations to football fans in Vegas and mm-hmm. sorry, Oakland.
Yeah. Sorry, Oakland.
Yeah. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Does anyone else doubt the veracity of this tale?
We have your tickets for April Foolishness today.
Mm-hmm.
We have Angela Johnson, one of the comedians, that's going to be on April Foolishness this Saturday night in studio today. Very excited about that. We have good April's Fool Day jokes. We started talking about these in the office, and some of them seemed good, some of them seemed bad. So we're going to look for good ones. We're going to look for great ones.
Yeah, right. Unexpected.
Right. So we're going to do that as well, and we're going to talk to the Dodger manager.
No.
We're going to have Beer Mug's mom on the phone. Am
no.
I right?
No.
Who's with me?
No, a little bit.
Mama Mugs.
A little bit.
I do feel like we should give her a question. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, no, I was just making a joke.
I think it's a great idea.
Hard pass.
We'll take a break and come back.
But she knows how to manage the team. We've learned that over the years, Allie.
Hard pass.
No one knows more about what the Dodgers should do than Beer Mug's mom.
She's very much an optimist, is what I've heard.
Pass, it's hard.
We'll take a break. Come back with the Showbiz Beat. LANOC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock at 5:55. And it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is that Ralph Garman, I say? The famous Ralph Garman in our studio?
Hey, Ralph.
Tis.
Those people were standing by ready to applaud?
Yeah.
Wow. About that. All right. Good.
A lot of happy people there.
A lot of people. Right.
Let them do the showbiz, man. Let them get to it. Sit down. Hey, Rob. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
We missed you.
It is a lot of births going on in show business. Congratulations to Jared Padalecki. He and his wife, Genevieve, welcomed their third child into the world last Friday, a daughter named Odette.
Odette.
You don't meet a lot of Odettes anymore. Glad to see Odette's coming back.
And that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
Not true at all. And Benedict Cumberbatch and his wife, Sophie, have a new baby boy as well. Hal. Hal. That's a name. Hal.
Huh.
Hal Cumberbatch. Hal.
He is a dick.
He is not. He's a little baby. His name is Hal, which is awesome.
I like that name, too, and I feel like it was probably out of favor for decades after the 2001 A Space Odyssey movie, I would imagine. But maybe that's been long enough ago that people don't remember it, so maybe it's cool again.
An odd theory, that.
Yes. I'm guessing it's some sort of Shakespearean nod, given the Cumberbatches.
Yeah.
At all. But they've got another boy named Christopher, too. Oh.
He is a dick.
He's not. He's a good kid. But it's just nice that people's names are people again.
Yeah.
Names are names again. What's happening in the world? It's getting so naming your kid something normal is different and exotic.
Yeah, that's true.
Honey, let's really F with people. Let's call him Christopher. We're getting all the news.
Didn't Jimmy Kimmel name his daughter Jane? And everybody was probably thinking, oh, that's so bold and outrageous.
Oh, she's going to be special with a unique name like that.
Too many people on Earth.
Right?
Right.
Exactly, Rodney.
Figure out a way to get to Mars.
Yes.
There's some more people up there.
Are you on Mars now?
Right.
It's getting crowded down here.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rodney.
We have to boost that signal from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
True Detective's coming back for a third season. I, for one, am looking forward to it. Of course, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson started the thing off in their first season, which got a lot of attention. Then Vince Vaughn's Colin Farrell season, not as successful in 2015. No word on the stars for the third season yet, but David Milch is going to be on board in the production.
All right.
It's going to be some insanity. You know his work from Deadwood or NYPD Blue or John from Cincinnati. Remember John from Cincinnati? That was a basket of nuts, right? That was.
I loved that show, and I don't know why.
Because you have no idea what it was about, and you loved it.
Yes.
All right. You're not going to talk to me? I'm not going to talk to you.
Fine. No, I'm saying that's
no,
true.
No, deal with the midget. That's fine. That's your little world over there. I don't want to get involved. Allie, are you crying?
Yes. Good. Usually.
Good. Adele closed out her tour on Sunday night in Auckland, New Zealand, in front of 40,000 fans in the pouring rain. Her last show, standing there in the pouring rain.
She set fire to it.
She set fire to the stage?
To the rain. It's one of her songs.
Don't applaud that.
The kids appreciated the
reference.
The
kids don't. I have no idea what the F she's talking about.
Right? Set fire to the rain. It was a huge, big Adele song.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, children.
No, there's no children.
Really?
Just one child.
Oh.
She said on stage at the end of that concert that this may be her last tour ever. Touring isn't something I'm good at, she said. Applause makes me feel a bit vulnerable. I don't know if I'll ever tour again. The only reason I've toured is you. I'm not sure if touring is my bag.
Now quit your silly moping. Pull your sorry self together and snap out of it.
Said Adele, standing in the rain. Sounds like the saddest concert ever. She said goodbye, drenched in the rain in New Zealand, saying that something about her bag. Her bag was full. Do you have a colostomy? I'm not sure.
Oh,
does Adele have a colostomy? I'm just curious.
I don't think so.
That's a reasonable question.
I feel like we would have.
It's a very reasonable.
It's a reasonable question to ask about Adele. How's her colon? How's it?
I mean, really,
how's Adele's colon?
Good, as far as we know.
Days. Right. You sure?
Yeah. Aww. As far as we know.
Well, let's.
Okay. Come on.
Let's fire up the old fire optics camera and get in there and see what's going on. I want to find a polyp or two inside Adele's colon. Can you imagine?
No.
Why would we?
Doesn't make any sense.
Because I want her to have good colon health. I wish that for Adele.
But what makes you assume she doesn't?
Well, how do we know if we don't investigate?
Well, that's true of everybody,
I'm saying let's put on our mining helmets and go spelunking.
I don't.
Go, hello? Hello.
Let's not do that so much.
Ross was gone all last week, and we never once thought about a celebrity's colon.
You're welcome. Today's celebrity birthday is director Brett Ratner's 48 years old today. Actor Vince Vaughn turns 47. Nick Frost, 45 years old today. Love him and his silly band of Brits.
Ralph, are you watching Into the Badlands? He's on this season.
I am not.
So good.
Julia Stiles is 36 years old today. Singer Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga!
Is 31 years old today. Stereo. Nice.
Right?
And quarterback for your Las Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr, celebrates his 26th birthday today. Ah, Vegas and Raiders fans, what could possibly go wrong? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian Angela Johnson on the program later on today. She'll also be with us this Saturday night at the April Foolishness Show at the Shrine. Also, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts is going to be joining us as well, coming up at K-Rock. First, though, when Omar walks in, I know it's not always good news
right,
for somebody.
It's almost always bad news, actually.
Usually poo-related.
Yeah.
Usually is. Omar was in the room 5 seconds before he started telling us a poop story, so thank God the mics went on. We can stop listening to that.
Right.
You brought up an interesting thing after the show yesterday, O, that I have to be honest, I have kind of stopped thinking about April Fool's Day. And I think the reason is that we used to have a lot of fun on the Kevin and Bean Show with doing April Fool's Day pranks on our listeners, and then we were told that they weren't allowed anymore.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering why we don't do anything anymore. They came to us and said, we don't like it.
Just in general.
Stop.
That was about our whole show, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
We don't like it.
So I guess that kind of took the fun of the holiday away for me. But there are still some people who enjoy playing pranks on their friends and their coworkers. I mean, how many times did Jim put Dwight's stapler in Jell-O on The Office, for instance? You know, the good old-fashioned April Fool's Day pranks of old. But you brought it up yesterday. How come?
Because I have kids now, and I'm a child myself. So now, like, you know, my wife, she doesn't take any of my shenanigans. My kids, they love me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I get into all kinds of
trouble. You're just lucky your wife's still there.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Totally. So this year, I'm going to, you know, let them, you know, introduce them to April Fool's Day pranks.
At whose expense?
At her expense. My wife's.
Oh, no.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, so, but I was watching, but the thing is, I don't have time to do anything elaborate right now.
Right.
But I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, and this guy from NASA was on there, and he laid out this this prank, and it was going to be so easy. We have some audio. This is what he explained.
You Google just like bug silhouettes, right?
Bug silhouettes.
And you'll get something like this,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to trace that and put it on sort of like construction paper, so you have this, right?
Okay, this is not construction paper. This is just regular old printer paper.
That's right. So like trace it onto something that's a little bit thicker.
Okay.
Okay?
If only we had a TV show and we could have... All right, so trace that, cut it out.
And then put it on the inside of a lamp, right?
Okay.
And then what's cool about this is you can't see anything until
All right, let's
you...
turn out the lights here so this is more spectacular.
A big reveal.
Uh-huh.
You can't see anything...
Big scary
...until
bug.
You actually turn the lights on. Right?
So
you turn the lights on, and it looks like the inside of your lampshade in your bedroom is infested with cockroaches.
Big old cockroach, yeah. And my wife hates cockroaches. And every night, like around, I don't know, 8:30, she'll go and she'll read some BS book that she reads. So she turns on her little light. So I'm going to have the children's all right there waiting for it until mom turns on the light and freaks out. It's going to be awesome. Maybe videotape it.
It's going to be awesome.
What do you think her reaction is going to be?
Oh, she's
going
to freak the F out. Yeah.
So how does that in turn help you?
Sorry.
Yeah. How does that help you?
How does that help
me?
Yeah. It brings me joy. It brings my children joy.
Man.
It's nothing but goodness, Allie. It's fun times around the Conn household.
For that 30 seconds, yes.
Yeah.
For the next 2 weeks, maybe not so much fun.
Yeah.
Why was this NASA scientist on Jimmy Kimmel talking about April Fool's jokes?
Are we not going to Mars anymore?
I don't know. Yeah, I think we've given up.
No, we're not going to space. Let me tell you how to prank people.
Another prank he has, is it was pretty genius, is that you take a little empty Starbucks cup.
Right.
And you put a magnet at the bottom of it, and then you put it on top of your car, and then you drive around.
I see.
And everybody's like, waving, hey, dude, you forgot your coffee on there. And then all he's doing is waving back, hey. And then he's just driving around town. I thought that was pretty creative.
That's not terrible.
Yeah.
So I guess what we want to do is, if you are like Omar and you're excited about Saturday and the April Fool's Day pranks you can play on your family or on your friends or on your coworkers.
Like we're doing with our April Foolishness.
Nope, that's a real
that's
show.
Real.
Though.
That's
that
April
is
actually,
1st.
Right.
No, that's
we're
happening.
Saying, hey, we have a comedy show,
come on
everybody.
Down.
Come on
but
down to the
that's
shrine.
That's really happening, though.
Parking lot's empty.
We want to hear what kind of pranks you're either doing or have done in the past that have been awesome or that you've seen. We're looking for some ideas for people who are still in the mood for April Fool's Day pranks. What kinds of things have you seen and done? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, the internet is a tremendous resource for things that you can do.
As simple as
taking the bar of soap and painting it with clear nail polish, for instance, so that it doesn't soap at all. You know, little things like that. Kevin putting an air horn on somebody's chair so when they sit down, it goes off.
Nothing
that
better.
Type of thing.
There's nothing better.
When I was a kid, I put saran wrap on the toilet.
Oh, no.
And my stepdad went and...
Your
went
stepdad?
To get, yeah. And, man, I got in so much trouble.
Right?
My
mom
was not happy. My dad found it funny, though. You didn't have to clean it up.
There are people who saran wrap people at work's cars, for instance. They come out to their car and it's completely covered in saran wrap.
I love the commitment of some people. Some people go through so much work to get things done, and that is completely amazing.
You mean like covering every square inch of somebody's office with newspaper, for instance?
I love that. Or post-its.
Or filling it up with balloons or something like that.
Yeah.
We do have another clip. Did we want to play this one from Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
We don't want to play that one.
No.
Okay.
I just grabbed. That's a Starbucks.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll take your calls now.
Talking about April Fool's pranks that you either have planned or have tried or have been done to you. What's the one you were telling us about off the air with the meatballs, Allie? That sounded like
a woman named Kristen tweeted, disguise meatballs as cake pops, then just dip them in chocolate. Best trick ever.
Right?
Oh!
So that would be awesome.
Bring those into the office and go,
no.
Hey, everybody, I brought cake pops.
Because I would chew that whole thing at once. Right? Oh, that would be so gross.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try, wow, we got some pretty good ones here. Why don't we try Eric and Torrance? He's up first, line four, see what he's got going on.
All right. Hey, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. April Fool's jokes, what do you got?
So when I was junior high, me and some buddies would put duct tape face up. And so when the cars would come home, turn it onto the street, they would run over it. It would sound like they would have a flat tire.
Oh, interesting. So it would stick to the tire, and then every time it went around, it would sound flat.
Yeah, yeah. Me and some buddies would do that until I got busted.
And then the fun was you sit on your porch or whatever and just watch the people get out of their car to see if they're flat, right?
Yeah, well, actually, me and my friends would skate, and so we would just, like, sit, like, off to the side and just
laugh.
I like it. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
See, minimum of effort, but maximum payoff, I think.
And that's what Omar was talking about right when we started this conversation, which is you don't have a lot of time, but you want something that's going to be fun and effective. Right. All right. Why don't we try Matt Huntington Beach, line one.
All right. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you?
Good, thanks. April Fool jokes.
Excellent. So a buddy of mine was selling his Prius, and he was having a very difficult time selling it. So on April Fool's, I made an ad for a Craigslist ad for a Prius and put his name and phone number and said that he was going to sell the car for $600 because he was moving out of the country.
What was he asking for it at the time you said $600?
About $11,000.
Oh, man.
So that was less then.
Yeah, just a skosh. But, I mean, he got – I was there. He wouldn't – We were at work, and he get the first phone call. He's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, it's still for sale, yeah, for sure." And then he was like, "What? No, I'm not selling it for $600. You crazy?" And then his phone just started blowing up, and he looked at me, and he's like, "You mother effer."
He knew you, right, Matt?
I love it. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Louis or Louise Rancho Santa Margaritaville.
You want to try that again?
I assume it's Rancho Santa Margaret, right?
What?
Santa Margarita.
Margarita, okay. All right, I couldn't remember how that
would
went.
What do you mean Margarita?
Margarita.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah,
morning.
You as well.
How you guys?
April Foolishness, well, we're good. Sorry, April Fools. Yeah. April Fools. Yeah, April Foolishness right, is our prank.
Right.
April Fools, right. We're looking for you.
That was your prank? Yeah, pretty good one.
All right, go ahead.
This is what happened. I used to work in a refinery, and we had these porta cans, you know, those portable toilets. And this guy used to take naps in them things. I don't know why.
Oh.
Stinky and odd. So I decided to put what's called duct tape around it.
Right.
And we forgot about it.
Wait, you locked somebody in there?
We taped somebody in there. Well, I taped somebody in there, and we forgot about him until the next day.
Oh.
Until the next day?
All night. Oh.
Was this before cell phones, so he had no way to contact anyone?
No, this is a long time ago, before, you know, like, cell phones. They had those brick phones, but they weren't allowed in the refinery because their electronics
Dude.
Are dangerous and whatnot.
I mean, that's pretty sweet until you leave them overnight.
Yeah, that's a yeah, prank that went awry.
Overnight, and we almost got fired, but nobody snitched on anybody, so we were cool.
All right.
All right. Very much after that.
Because snitches get stitches, am I right?
I heard that, yes.
Right?
thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try, let's try Jasmine, LA Line 1, please.
All right. Jasmine, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
We're doing April Foolishness. What are you going to do?
Kevin, April Foolishness is real. That's an actual concert we're selling tickets for with comedians in there. It's going to happen.
Bean, I get it.
All right, Jasmine, what's up?
So every time, this was like during high school, I'd spend like the night before getting raw eggs from the market, kind of covering the top shell with chocolate, and then using like those like 99-cent sort of colorful foils, and the next morning tell my friends I got Easter candy early, and I watched a few of them just buy into the raw eggs.
I'm not happy with all of these pranks involving chocolate.
They're ruining chocolate for you.
I mean, come on now.
Listen to the joy all
right,
these years
Jasmine,
later.
Happy about it. Yeah, I'm
still so happy about it. All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. Let's try, how about Andy, line 8, Paramount, up next.
All right. Hey, Andy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Hey, we used to do something called nickel tapping.
Nickel tapping?
Yeah, so you take a Band-Aid and a nickel, and you take some black sewing string, and you go and you tape it to somebody's window, and you attach the string to it and hide in your car. And so when you pull the string, it taps that nickel on their window, and you wouldn't believe how loud it is in somebody's house.
Oh, so interesting.
They start looking around their house with flashlights, looking outside, expecting to see, like, a physical person tapping on their window. So you can play around with people pretty funny.
That's terrifying, Andy.
That sounds like a pretty good...
With all the guns in California, I wouldn't do that anymore. But
That's a concern.
I gotta be honest, I like that one.
Listen to Andy's voice, by the way. He is pure evil.
Pure evil. All right, let's try one more. How about Mitch Long Beach, Line 6?
All right. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, in high school, I played football, and we had a vice principal that was a total D-bag. So, and he also drove a Mini Cooper, and he, like, parked in a garage that was open and had, like, cement on each side. So
he's practically begging for this.
Yeah, exactly. So we, a bunch of guys picked up the car and moved it sideways so that it was perpendicular to the parking spot, and he couldn't get out.
Pretty sweet.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
I love that a jock just said perpendicular.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. LA NOC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, joins us next hour here on K-Rock. First, though, join us as we once again welcome back from vacation our friend Ralph Garman. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning.
Speaking of vacations, Kevin Smith and I have been off from Hollywood Babylon for almost the whole month, but we're coming back this weekend, Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I once again taking the stage for Hollywood Babylon. A lot of people asking where we've been. Well, Smith's busy directing stuff. And I was out of town for a little bit, but now we're back. So go to improv.com and click on Hollywood, and then you can get information and tickets for Hollywood Babylon this Friday night.
Should be a good one. No way in hell.
We'll be talking about this young lady, Danielle Brigoli. You know her. You love her as Catch Me Outside. How about that?
Catch Me Outside. How about that?
Yeah. She just celebrated her 14th birthday. Oh, What a delicate young flower she is, too. What a sweet little piece of candy. He said, editing himself.
Catch me outside. How about that?
TMZ caught her outside Dantana's because, you know, that's where you go to celebrate when you're 14 years old. You go to have a dinner at Dantana's.
I assume that's a difficult restaurant to get into?
It's expensive.
It's a pretty high-end joint. Sort of old-school Hollywood. It was one of my favorite places until I found out they were serving Danielle Brigoli.
Catch me outside. How about that?
And they wondered if she was in touch with her old pal, Dr. Phil. Because remember, we met Danielle on Dr. Phil's daytime TV show. Here's what she had to say.
Have you heard from Dr. Phil lately?
No.
Has he wished he hasn't wished you happy birthday?
No. Such an asshole, right?
Really?
After all I did for him.
You've done a lot for him. Have you seen, like, an increase in his ratings or anything because of that?
Of course.
Yeah? Okay.
Didn't Dr. Phil have a show for like 20 years before she came on it?
No, nothing mattered before she came on the scene.
Yes, of course.
Apparently, she has signed a deal with a major TV production company last Friday for her own reality show.
Yes.
When asked what she wanted for her 14th birthday, well, what does any 14-year-old girl want? A Maybach, she said.
Is that a very expensive car?
Yes, Kevin.
Okay.
One of the most.
That's what she wants for her 14th birthday.
Yeah.
When she turns 14.
She can't drive it.
Oh, the hell she can't. She's stolen several cars already.
Right?
So we know she can drive.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Why doesn't she just steal a Maybach?
Right? Be a lot easier.
Stay true to your roots, Danielle. Don't give up who you are. The reason we love you. We love you for who you are.
Wait, do we love her?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't realize that.
For old school roots. We don't want her to become a whole fancy, schmancy, Maybach wearing, driving, whatever you do with a Maybach. We don't want her to lose a better part of herself.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I think that's what we're saying.
Right.
Catch her outside. How about that? Good news for fans of CW's Arrow. Katie Cassidy's returning.
All right.
Katie Cassidy! She'll be back on the CW network as a series regular in season 6, it has been announced she will play, of course, Well, she can't play Black Canary.
Right.
She's dead as the Black Canary.
Right.
So they had to go to another Earth and find her doppelganger from Earth 2, who, of course, was the bad version because she was not loved as a child.
Right.
Black Siren. So she will move over to Earth 1 as Black Siren. And they already have a Black Canary.
So will she be an enemy or a friend of...
Right?
Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Obviously.
Obviously.
So she's just like a siren, like, woo-woo! That's how she wards
exactly.
off people?
Yeah. She sits on top of police cars, Allie. And just yells for them.
I love it.
So traffic gets out of the way.
I'd rather be the canary.
Right?
Right.
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 How cool is George Lucas? He's opened his wallet again, forked over another $10 million endowment to USC's School of the Cinematic Arts. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
He's become generous.
He's become generous?
Yes,
in
the last few years.
Was he a tightwad before?
No, I'm just saying in the last few years, he's made a lot of high-profile contributions, donations, and whatnot. It seems like he's happy to be spreading around.
The donation from the George Lucas Family Foundation will give African-American and Hispanic students in both undergraduate and graduate programs priority consideration for financial support. So he's trying to promote diversity in the cinematic arts, which I think is pretty cool.
I like that.
More than two-thirds of USC students are receiving some kind of financial assistance. So it's nice to know that this will be another source for them, especially for black and Hispanic kids who are trying to learn how to make movies. Did you know the cost of tuition for out-of-state students is $45,000 a year?
Oof. A year?
Yeah. Another $12,000 or so for room and board. Another $2,100 for books, supplies, fees, etc.
So you're like $60,000
per
year?
You're about $60,700 per year to go to college.
Well, people can do that. It's no big deal.
Of course they can.
Right.
It's dumb to think otherwise. It's simple. Just go to college, kids. Whew, that sucks. Today's celebrity birthdays. Julia Stiles is 36 years old today. Nick Frost turns 45. Vince Vaughn. Ah, Vinny.
Love him.
Vinny Vaughn. Vinny Vaughn. Can I tell you a story, the story about Vince Vaughn?
I don't.
Where we were doing, we had him on the show to talk about the movie he did with Dave Franco and Tom Wilkinson. What the hell was it?
Yes, it was Interns. Where they go to Google or whatever.
No.
Mm-mm. It wasn't wrong. That at all.
That's very
not
wrong.
Not at all.
Very the opposite
okay, so
of right.
That was nothing
that
close.
That was a movie he made with Owen Wilson.
A different one.
It was very different.
Unfinished okay. Business.
Unfinished Business was the name of this film. And he came in to promote that, and then there was going to be a Q&A and a screening at the Arclight, and he asked me if I would host. And I said, absolutely, I would. So we went to this thing, and we got there early. And so before we did the thing, we just were talking. We were just talking, mostly talking dad stuff, talking kids, because we both have kids. And it was just a very innocuous, sort of pleasant conversation. Didn't really think much about it. We did the Q&A, and about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days later, I get a knock on the door as a delivery service. It's a stack of wrapped toys and presents for my daughter, Olivia, from Vince Vaughn. Based upon our conversation, what he thought she would like.
Wow, what's he making up
what
for?
What a delight.
Sent her a stack? What is he making up for her?
Yeah, Kevin!
What's wrong with
the
you?
The kindness
that's what
of
we
his
saying.
Own heart,
that's
they
not
bonded
what we're saying.
Over being dads.
What's it was he... just a casual conversation between two dads, and he went out of his way to send my daughter wow. a stack of gifts.
Sounds like he's making up for something.
He's not making up for anything.
Wonderful
he's being a good
man.
Guy. He's
God
being nice.
Damn it, Kevin.
God.
Sorry, I thought that's where we were going.
Vince Vaughn celebrates his
47th birthday. That was a lovely story, Ralph. Thank
yeah,
you.
I was really impressed by his thoughtfulness and kindness.
Because he was making up for...
He didn't have to do that.
Right.
Mm-mm. And I didn't even think twice about our conversation. Mm-mm. But apparently he did. Because that's the kind of guy he is. He's better than Kevin. That much we know. For sure. Director Brett Ratner is 48 years old today. And, Lady Gaga!
Lady Gaga!
She's 31.
Man, that's harmful to the ear.
It's a lot.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, keep listening for your chance to win tickets for Kevin Mead's April Foolishness this Saturday at the Shrine with Bill Burr and David Koechner and Jimmy Pardo and Taylor Williamson, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, and our guest next hour here in studio, the very funny Angela Johnson is going to be joining us. You can win those coming up a couple times this morning on the program, so keep listening.
Let's talk Donald Trump.
Are you
Let's
sure?
talk about our president.
Are you sure?
What's the latest with health care? What happened with that vote? Ooh. I don't watch the news because kid.
Because mm-hmm. you are a kid.
Right. That's right.
Well, I don't know why you're asking me when number 45 himself is on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. The President of the United States, who I think must have been – we tried to get a hold of him last week. He was out on the golf course a lot. It was weird, Mr. Trump. We can never seem to find you in the Oval Office. How you doing?
I am so happy, first of all, to finally talk to someone who knows less about the health care bill than I do. Okay? Incredibly refreshing
right.
to have somebody who has no idea what's going on. I would like to personally, Kevin, invite you to Mar-a-Lago to sit down and have a few meetings because I think I could learn a lot from you.
Thank you.
Sounds like it.
You
well,
are
Mr. Trump.
Unbelievably good.
Thank you, Mr.
What
President.
You do.
Thank you.
Okay? You are big league. Okay?
Big league, right. I don't I'm in no way trying to pile on because, look, we're all Americans. We all want good health care. We want it to be affordable. We want it to take care of us when we get sick. But I feel like you campaigned for a year and a half on overturning Obamacare, and then when you had the opportunity to do that, you could not get your ducks in a row to make it happen.
I will repeal and replace Obamacare.
That's what you've been saying, right?
An unbelievably bad deal for the
okay.
American people.
All right.
And I will give everyone coverage. It will be a fraction. Okay, a fraction of what it costs now.
Okay.
Okay, when is this happening?
Almost free medical coverage for everyone all the time forever.
Now, you didn't get the votes that you needed. I thought you were a negotiator. I thought that's what you ran on, basically, is that you know business, you know how to negotiate.
Yes. It turns out this is not business.
I see. What?
This is government.
Government is
different.
Who could have known those things were different? Who could have known that governing and running a business were two different things. Nobody could have known that those things are different. Okay,
but I mean, again, not to harp on the point, sir, but didn't the Republicans in Congress who complained about Obamacare for 7 years ever think, hey, maybe we should come up with a better plan?
They only
have
7 years, okay? Only 7 years. It takes a long time to come up with something. Who knew health care was so complicated?
Well, everybody knew that.
Nobody knew. It was very, very complicated.
Okay.
And it takes a lot of things that you need to know smart words for.
Let me switch gears for just a second, because you've given yet another member of your family a job in the White House. What is your son-in-law, Jared Kushner's new job? He's the director
of... Jared Kushner, a brilliant, brilliant business mind, okay? Mm-hmm. He is going to be running the Office of Good Business Things.
Oh,
is that what
really?
It's called, the Office of Good Business Things?
Yes. First of all, who's luckier than Jared Kushner, okay?
Oh, no.
Why do you say that, Mr. Trump?
Because he's married to that smoking hot Ivanka
Trump.
Oh,
right.
How hot is she?
Married to your daughter.
That's your daughter.
She is so incredibly hot, though.
Right. Wow. That's very inappropriate.
If she weren't my daughter,
right,
I'd be dating her.
I know you've said that, but let's not
think. If I was a married man,
right.
I would like to be married to someone like her. She's unbelievable.
She's your daughter.
I wish.
Plus, you also are a married man.
If I get married, I want to marry a woman
married.
Like her.
You're actually married
to Melania.
Now.
She doesn't live with you.
I'm
she lives
sure I'm not
in New York.
You're married. You have a wife. She just lives in New York.
What?
Melania. You remember Melania the model?
Oh, yes. Very nice woman. Very nice.
That's your wife.
But your wife.
Sure. The one in New York, right?
Right. Yes. With your son, Barron.
From what I'm told, she is a very, very nice lady.
Well, maybe you should spend some time with her.
And I think I should say hello to her sometime soon. I will work on that. Okay.
This Jared Kushner story, though, that I think has a lot of people questioning what's happening, is that he met with a Russian banker who is in charge of the bank where Vladimir Putin does all of his business, runs all of his money through that. And people are starting to feel like maybe your family, your administration is a little bit too close to Mr. Putin. Do you have any comments?
That was his job, okay? That was Jared Kushner's job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Was to do
meet with Russians?
With Russians and Pootie and
right.
his ATM or something, gave a new number. I forget what exactly the job was.
All right.
It was his job. A lot of people. What about the Clintons? What about them with Russians? Okay?
See, you're just deflecting, though. It's more about what you're under investigation for.
George Clinton used to run Russia.
George?
George Clinton?
Yeah.
He was the
Funkadelic?
Guy from Funkadelic, I think. Right. Yeah.
Yes. And he used to be the czar.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think you're right on that, Mr. Trump.
My son's Thing 1 and Thing 2 told me that.
Correctly.
Whatever their names are.
Whatever it is. I don't know.
Well, listen, you're about 70 days in. How do you
How
feel
I doing?
It's going?
You like it?
Well, I'm asking, how do you
so
feel
it? Thumbs up. Picture with thumbs up.
Thumbs up, you're saying?
Taking a picture right now. Thumbs up. Smile. Okay. Thumbs up. Okay.
All right. So just keep doing what you're doing. That's how you're approaching this.
Obamacare will explode. Okay? Uh-huh. It will fail. Millions and millions of people will die. Can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome.
I'm not positive. That's not what we're looking for,
thumbs
Mr.
up.
Trump.
Okay, thumbs up. Right.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Great to talk to you, sir. Well, it sounds like he's got that under control.
Correct.
Hey, I know we have Dave Roberts, manager of the L.A. Dodgers, coming on in a few minutes, but I think we have time to squeeze in a few phone calls. Before that, we had a good batch of calls yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can do it again for Kevin Means What's Good. What are we looking for? What are some suggestions here, Kevin?
Anything that you have that we're not talking about, that we're not aware of. Maybe
some Raiders fans went away.
Sure.
In. That might be a good topic for today.
That. Maybe questions for Dave Roberts, since we're going to talk to him in 15 minutes
or so. Questions for Dave Roberts.
Yeah, how about that?
And Allie, you're still up for giving kissing advice if anyone needs that, right?
Kissing, dating advice, I do it all. Yeah, okay. Just let me have it.
All right, so your questions, your comments, your problems, we want to hear from you. Kevin Beans, What's Good is coming up next with your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. We want you to be part of the show right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067.
What's good?
All right. You can call on any topic with your questions, your comments, your problems. I mentioned the Raiders leaving Oakland, heading for Las Vegas. I know Johnny on line one is one Raiders fan who seems very excited about it.
Hey, Johnny.
Go Raiders!
What's your history with the team, Johnny? Where are you coming at this from?
All right. So in 85 or 87, I don't know, I played for the Hammer Thunderbirds. We sold tickets to get tickets to go to Raider games.
Right.
So I've been following the team since then. When they went to Oakland, I stood loyal. And now they're going to Vegas. For mm-hmm. sure, I'm going to be loyal. You know, the best, other than LA, I think it's the second best city in the world.
So it'll be a lot easier for you because it's so much closer to go to the games and a city you'd much rather visit on a weekend than Oakland anyway.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, around the football game, there's a lot of other stuff to actually do in Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hookers and coke, right?
Hookers and coke. That is exactly what Kevin meant.
Yep, that's what I meant. Thank you, Johnny.
Not to stereotype Raiders fans, but thanks for calling, Johnny. Appreciate that. Let's try Valerie, Culver City, up next, line two, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Valerie. What can we do for you?
Hi. So have you guys ever gotten a root canal? Because I'm about to go get one, and I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, they suck.
I've had two root canals, I think. How about you, Kevin? How many you had?
I've had two on the same tooth in the last month.
Oh, man.
Same tooth. But you know what happened the second time? Nitrous.
What?
Nitrous. Laughing gas. Nitrous.
And that helped? That made it better?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Help help Valerie know what she's in store for, because she sounds a little nervous. What's the pain level like before and after?
They usually numb it anyway, but then they do have to pull out your tooth, and then they have to pretty much pull out all of the roots of your...
Oh,
yeah, it's not... it isn't fun. It's not fun. But I don't know exactly how we're supposed to help.
I don't know. I might be helpful.
I mean, look, I've done it. It sucks. That's all I can tell you.
You will probably survive it. I would say you have a better than 50-50 chance of living through it, Valerie, if that helps.
Okay, thanks.
All right, good luck. Hope you're here tomorrow to listen.
She's never calling again.
Nope.
What's the recovery time after a root canal before your mouth starts to feel normal again? It's been a long time since I had mine. I don't really remember.
Basically, they take out all of your nerve root endings, so it basically doesn't hurt all that much once it wears off.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Anaheim. Let's meet our man.
Did I mention nitrous?
You did.
Yes, you
yeah.
did. That's the recommendation helpful. You're making right. to make the surgery go better,
I'm
right?
just saying. Larry, hi.
Hello. After a year of being homeless and living on the streets, I finally got a second job, a car, and a place to live. Always in the
Larry!
Week.
Wow.
How about that? Now, how did you... Right.
Yeah, great, man.
How did you go about doing all of that? You had one job the whole time or no?
When I was homeless, I had a singular job. I was sleeping on the streets, showering at the gym... And that's where most of my money went.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally managed to get a second job after months and months of looking, and a house after months and months of looking.
How about that?
You know.
That's awesome, Larry. You should be really proud of yourself. That's super impressive.
Thank you.
Larry, let me ask you this. Did you interact much with other homeless people when you were on the streets?
Quite a bit. I was one of the wealthier homeless people, so I'd usually help out buying people food.
Because you had a job, right?
Blankets and stuff, yeah, because I did have a job.
And let me, the reason I asked that question is to ask, do you feel that there are a lot of homeless people who are able to accomplish what you have just done, or do you think you're a real rare exception? Most people will not get off the street.
I think I'm an exception. The help just isn't there for homeless people. They don't have resources or a support network. Most of these people have mental illnesses that are completely treatable, but they don't have, you know, the money to seek help.
Sure.
How did you do it differently? Because I'm sure the system was not necessarily supporting you either.
I managed to find a therapist that helped me work through my mental problems for exceedingly cheap. That would take my, you know, bottom tier insurance.
Right.
And he really helped me get back up on my feet.
I got a second what Allie's saying. This is impressive.
Yeah,
it is.
You're an impressive person.
It's nice to hear a story like that, and it means a lot that you called to share it with people, because I bet just hearing your voice tell that story, Larry, is going to inspire other people to better their circumstances. So you've done a lot of good today by dialing in.
Thank you.
All right, man. Keep us posted. Stay in touch. Let us know how you do, all right?
You have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Larry, you guys.
Oh,
let's dedicate today's show to Larry, our new friend.
What's good?
I kind of miss Audio Slave, by the way.
It sounded good.
Sounded really good.
Yeah.
Hey, Angela Johnson is going to be joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's one of the great comedians on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine this Saturday night, AXS.com. If you want to buy those tickets, looking forward to Angela coming in here. Right now, though, we turn our attention to baseball. Dodger Stadium. It's going to be happening this Monday, the home opener, 4-game series against the Padres. We could not be more delighted and honored to welcome to the program the 2016 National League Manager of the Year, Dave Roberts of the Dodgers. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone. How are you, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I hope you guys are doing well this morning.
Thank you. We are.
We are doing fantastic. How is Arizona treating you? How do you like picking up your life and moving and essentially living in Arizona for a month? Is it weird?
You know what? It is. It's kind of, it seems weird, but I think that for me, from doing it since 1994, it kind of seems sort of commonplace, and this is what we do as baseball players, men, coaches, whatever. But, you know, this time of year in Arizona is a lot of fun. Guys are playing golf and getting out. But as a manager, obviously I spend a lot of time at the ballpark. But it's run its course this spring, so we're ready to head out and get ready to this freeway series.
I know you have a million decisions to make when you're managing in spring training, because you've got a lot of new guys, a lot of people you got to decide how they're going to fit into the plan down the road, who's in the big leagues, who you're sending down to AAA or whatever. I guess my question is, how much of what we see in spring training ends up translating into the season? Like, you can win a bunch of games in spring training and sometimes have a terrible season. Sometimes you have a terrible spring training, ends up being a great season. What's the balance there?
That's actually what we're going through right now, in the sense of the first part of your question. And, you know, when you get into spring training, everyone's excited. There's some new teammates and everyone's fresh coming off the winter. And then you start getting in there, you're playing games in the middle of spring. And this is the point right now where a lot of tough decisions have to be made. So there's a little bit of anxiety, some tension. And we have a lot of good players in camp. And I think that as far as the point about how spring training translates, and to be quite honest, we don't evaluate a lot in spring training. And also in Arizona, where the ball flies, the fields are harder, so it's tougher on pitching, and hitters get rewarded a little bit more.
Interesting.
So we look at a lot of the pitch execution, the swing mechanics for the hitters, and you still got to go with track record. I think that kind of trumps everything. So to say a guy can't win a job in spring training, I'm not saying that, but we don't evaluate and go by that, because like you said, spring training wins and losses certainly don't translate into the season.
What is the most important thing for you as a manager to think about for the Dodgers? Is it keeping your players healthy? for the entire season?
Yeah. You know, as a player, you go there and you just play. And as a coach, you're kind of coaching players. But as a manager, I think, you know, priority number one is you're really cognizant of keeping guys in breaking camp as healthy as possible, and especially with the starting pitching and pitching. But, yeah, you want to keep your guys healthy when you break.
And let's face it, a lot. I mean, you won the National League Manager of the Year last year, and you certainly deserved it. And I think a lot of that was the respect that people had for you for how you were able to change up your rotations, because it seemed like every week you had somebody on the disabled list. I mean, that was crazy, some of the stretches you went through last season.
Yeah, you know what? I hope we don't have to revisit that one this year. But I think it's one of those things where I think that what we've created here with the Dodgers now in our clubhouse, there's a culture where there's a buy-in and sense of whatever is best for the team. And I think that my message and the coach's message has been clear from day one that I'm going to manage to the extent of, you know, I'm not going to compromise a win, a major league win. I'm going to do what's best for the Dodgers. And there's going to be some tough decisions, but I think that, as you mentioned, shuffling the rotation, pulling guys, changing guys, and taking guys out of perfect games and no-hitters, I did for the best of this organization and for the player. So I think that there's a respect throughout our clubhouse.
One of your favorite young men is Yasiel Puig, and he's had his ups and downs with the club the last couple of years. How is he feeling and looking, and what's his attitude like in spring training so far this year?
Well, Yasi is feeling well, and his attitude is great. And for me, the coach is just the defense is still plus. And for us, it's more of just seeing those consistent at-bats. You know, we saw him in 13, and he came in and made a big splash in 14. He was good. And then so now it's kind of we got to get him back on track and be a little bit more consistent. So he's working hard. Obviously, you know, he's a fan favorite in Los Angeles, and he's got a high ceiling. But we got a lot of good players.
Yeah.
So I like the competition.
You were a player for a long time, Dave, so you certainly know about the distractions that come throughout a long season, all the different ways you can get in trouble and take your eye off the ball. Do you spend a lot of your time just kind of corralling people, making sure they're home at night and not getting too crazy when they're on their off days and things like that? Or you pretty much let them run their own life?
He's a house mom.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering how much of that is part of your job.
That's right. No, you know what? I think for me, I don't have a whole lot of rules. And I think that for me, it's more about if you get the right people and you're saying the right message, guys have a tendency to do the right thing. And, you know, as long as it doesn't affect the way they play the next day and they're ready to work and be a professional the next day, then for me, these are grown men. And I don't micromanage. But like I said, if it affects the performance going forward, then that's a problem. But, with that, Yasiel, I don't mind guys going out. That's what they do and blow off steam.
Yeah, they're young.
But they're young, and, you know, some of these guys are single, and so you just go out there and do what you do. And also, we play at night, so it's like there's plenty of time to recover as long as you're responsible.
That's a good point. When you saw Sports Illustrated pick the Dodgers in their recent issue to win it all this year, does that make you happy, or does that put even more pressure on you, if that's possible?
Well, I definitely don't see this pressure, and that's our goal, you know, in the clubhouse anyway. You know, for the players, the fans, you know, ownership, front office, I mean, player development, that's our goal as an organization. So for Sports Illustrated to be on the same page with us, I think that's great. But now it's just up to us to execute.
Allie, are you even more in love with Mr. Roberts than you were before we got on the phone?
Listen, Mr. Roberts.
Hi, Allie.
Hello. Can I just say, from the bottom of my heart and my family's heart, 2004, bottom of the ninth, ALCS game four.
Ooh, I like where you're going with this.
I am telling you, you basically set in motion the most improbable comeback in Major League Baseball history, and the city of Boston and my whole family owes you everything because you gave us hope again. You reversed the curse, Dave Roberts.
Oh, Allie, well, bless your heart and give your folks a big hug for me. That's awesome.
I will. Great. Thank you.
How often do you wear your World Series ring? I was curious about that.
I don't, guys.
I'd wear it every
I'll
day.
I'll wear it if you want to.
Every single
send
day.
Send it over here.
You, Allie.
Every single day I would wear it.
When I speak to kids and youth and you want to kind of make a point to kind of where you want to get to and what I was so blessed to have been a part of, I wear it. But it just doesn't make sense for me to draw attention to something that I know I'm proud of. But right now, I kind of try to live in the moment, and it just it's more of a distraction for me. But I'm, again, I couldn't be more proud, and I'll send it to Allie. I'll send it Allie's way.
All right. Fantastic. Well, let's get you a whole new one with a lot of blue in it.
There you go.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I'll rock that one all the time.
All right.
Well, we couldn't be more excited. The months are so slow between when the World Series ends and the next season starts, so we're so happy that we're getting so close. Monday at Dodger Stadium, four-game series against the Padres. Fingers crossed it's going to be another great season for Dodger baseball. And Dave, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. You're welcome anytime, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Reach out and touch
faith.
I mean.
Right?
Depeche Mode and Dave Roberts? Today's the best.
Got like a Make-A-Wish kid right now, Allie?
So much.
It's LA NOC's Alternative Rock, the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:53.
Apparently, the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas, you guys. You hear about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Our friend Rudy Cisneros has some thoughts about that later on today's show, and we'll give you a chance to win some more tickets to join us this Saturday night at the Shrine for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness concert. First, though, Ralph is back, and it's time for another Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Would you be more likely or less likely to go to Vegas a week and there's a home game for the Raiders?
If you're saying you're not a Raider fan, I would say less likely.
So less likely.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be in that town when it's packed full of drunken Raider fans.
I mean, it's a pretty big town, though. I mean, it's not like you couldn't avoid. Or do you think you couldn't avoid them?
What do you think?
I don't know.
You know.
Biermuck pointed out earlier today that this past weekend was that robbery at the Bellagio and also that shootout on the Strip.
Right.
Yes. So Raiders fans really are going to fit right in.
And who all was there when all this went down?
Maybe our show.
Maybe us.
We were there.
Maybe all of us.
Oh, right. How would that party go?
It went great.
It was a good time.
Ralph?
Yes. What?
Oh, my God. We met baby Ralph. There's a listener that looks just like you, but he's probably, what, 22, 23?
You sure?
He's baby Ralph. Everywhere he went, everyone's like, what up, bastard Ralph? Hey, you look like Ralph. Hey, Ralph.
I'll bet that was a great night for him.
Why were there a lot of Southerners there?
We gave away a lot, like a chunk of tickets to Alabama.
Down south? Oh, I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't.
He was a very nice listener, and he said he was there because he was hoping to meet his real father, and I wasn't sure what he meant by that.
See? Because that would...
No, it was a real good
party.
You're
inferring it's me. Yeah.
You would have had a great time, Ralph.
Right?
A lot of people did ask for you, so...
Yeah,
it was fun.
Well, good. I'm glad everybody had a good time. Speaking of good times... Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I once again, finally, oh, it's been weeks, taking the stage for Hollywood Babylon, the show that Smith and I do there at the Improv on Melrose. We have a great time, and I think you'll enjoy yourself, too. So why don't you come out Friday night, 10 p.m. for the late show. You can go to improv.com, click on the Hollywood location, and that's all you need to do. Right there, all the details and tickets will be available for you there. So come on out and join us. Hey, you know Abby Lee Miller from Dance Moms?
No.
You don't know the show Dance Moms?
No. I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't watch it.
Ah, come on. Dance Moms.
I don't watch it.
Kevin Dance Moms.
Right.
She's the head lady that yells at all the other moms and the kids.
She's the yelling lady. She was the woman that Beer Mug met on the red carpet and said, so what's it like to be a dance mom? And she's like the teacher.
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms. Yeah. Here at the Teen Choice Awards, what is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing?
I'm
that
a dance mom. Do you watch the show?
What are you?
Oof.
Yeah. She is she's the teacher there, and all the moms bring their kids to her to teach my kid how to be a star, and she's the teacher. Well, that's all over now.
That's all over now?
Oh, yeah.
She's not doing that anymore?
No.
What happened?
In a very angry diatribe on Instagram yesterday. She publicly quit the show. I will no longer take place in Dance Moms. The reason I'm yelling is because she wrote this in all caps,
sure,
by the way. Because she writes like she talks. For the past seven seasons, I have asked, begged, and even demanded creative credit for all the ideas, award-winning routines, themes, and costuming to no avail. I don't have a problem working with any kid. I love children and have dedicated my life to making other people's children successful.
Still all caps?
Yes.
Okay.
I just have a problem with being manipulated, disrespected, and used day in and day out by men who never took a dance lesson in their lives and treat women like dirt.
Wow.
So
things went south at Dance Moms.
No word on what the reality star will be doing next, but here's the good news. She could be going to jail.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, she's awaiting sentencing after pleading guilty to bankruptcy fraud last June, and she could get up to 10 years in prison at sentencing, which has been delayed, so.
Wow.
She'd be very popular in prison. She could put on the shows there, the prison dance shows. Sure. Orange is the New Dance. She could have a whole new show.
Oh. I'm in on that. That one I would watch.
Will you watch Danielle Bregoli's new show?
Nope.
Danielle Bregoli, for those of you who don't know, she is that troubled teen from the Dr. Phil show.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Who wanted the entire audience to catch her outside. How about that? Word is producers have come to a deal with Danielle for her own reality series.
Anyone interested?
Nope.
She's an awful 14-year-old. Just an obnoxious, awful 14-year-old.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Because she said, catch me outside. How about that?
She did say that.
Right?
It's tough to argue.
Exactly.
Her mom is awful.
Oh, yeah.
Her mom is awful.
Barbara Ann is equally hideous. Yeah. Look, a kid doesn't become that screwed up in 13 years on her own. It doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Right.
Mom should be put to death. That's the show we should watch.
I'm not positive that that's the answer.
Barbara Ann dies. That's the reality show. Just one season.
Sure.
It's every episode leading up to the execution of Cash Me Outside's mom. That's the reality show. Look, why are we kidding that we're even a civilization anymore? Why are we pretending that we're a society? Let's just throw open the sash, pull back the curtains, say this is really who we are and what we want.
And thin the herd?
Let's start taking them out. You want a reality show? It'd be like American Crime or whatever, just called Death. And every season we pick a new person and we follow them up to the final act, which is death.
I'm not positive that would be an easy one to sell.
Oh, you think?
I think it'd be real easy to sell. I think America demands it. I would like to support it, but I'm afraid if Ralph is picking the victims, maybe I don't want to support it.
Yeah, I wouldn't get you to like season two, Bean. Don't worry about it.
You've had a good run.
Oh, good. I got another year. Good.
Right.
Call that episode Bag in the Desert.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah. She was very upset, by the way, that Dr. Phil didn't call her on her 14th birthday. She was outside Dantan's restaurant when TMZ caught her.
Why would he? He doesn't call all of his previous guests.
Has he wished you, happy birthday?
Such an asshole, right?
Really?
After all I did for him.
You've done a lot for him. Have you seen like an increase in his ratings or anything because of that?
Course.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I feel
coming
like
this season on death. Right?
I'd watch that.
See?
I would watch that.
Call it murder button. We call it murder button, right? We've been trying to find a way to use the murder button all these years.
Yeah.
This season on murder button.
Murder.
Writes itself.
And would it just be a straight up execution or would they have to wrestle a tiger or how would it play out at the last episode?
I say people vote.
On
how they're going to do it.
Oh,
yeah.
We give them a selection.
Yeah.
The execution selection?
Right.
I like it. We're going places with this idea.
Yeah. Right?
Today's celebrity birthday is director Brett Ratner, who will be directing the first season of Murder Button, by the way.
I'm out.
We just
now.
Booked
How about
the
that?
Deal. We just booked it. Yeah.
That was quick.
And Chris Tucker will be the host.
Y'all want to see somebody die?
Vince Vaughn is 47 years old today. Nick Frost turns 45. Julia Stiles is 36. And Lady Gaga is 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian Angela Johnson joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. She'll be one of the featured acts on April Foolishness at the Shrine this Saturday night. Very excited about Angela coming in. I don't think we've ever had her in before.
We haven't.
She's very funny. That's coming up. First, though, Kevin, I'm glad you don't watch the news because you're a kid because you missed something awesome yesterday.
Okay.
Couple of dudes who I guess are pranksters, although maybe not. Maybe they're serious about why they decided to speak in front of the San Clemente City Council. Their mission is, and we only have time to play the audio from the first guy who identifies himself as Chad Kroger, by the way.
Okay.
If that name sounds familiar, yeah. He's
Nickelback?
The singer for Nickelback. Right. His Fred also steps up to the microphone. He says his name is Bodie Johnson, which I think is another name you may recognize as character from Point Break. But anyway, they're there because they want to get a statue built in San Clemente of Paul Walker from Fast and the Furious.
Right.
Because who doesn't want a statue of Paul Walker from Fast and the Furious, right? Hmm. So I don't know how sincere they are in wanting the statue built, but the way they went around it was pretty funny. And here's the first guy. This is Chad.
What up, council? My name is Chad Kroger.
By the way, I love any meeting and any speech that starts with what up, council.
What up, council?
First, I just want to say I'm truly honored to be here, to be in a city where you can have a surf session and then go to a city council meeting within the span of an hour. I think that just shows that the American dream is still very much alive. So thank you.
Does it show that the American dream is alive that you can surf and also go to a meeting?
I think it does.
I would say so.
Yeah.
All right. So far, I think we're on board with everything the young man has said.
Right.
All right. To the serious stuff. I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times. I'm a freelance journalist, and after interviewing hundreds of people, I've witnessed firsthand the ever-growing divide between Americans and families torn apart over political differences.
Okay, so far so good. If you're on the city council, you don't know what this dude's issue is, but it sounds like he's there for the right reasons.
Yeah, he's
right?
Laying the groundwork.
Making a lot of sense.
It's in times like these we need a unifying figure we can all turn to. A beacon of headlights that can guide us down the dusty road. I was 11 years old when my first love, Ashley, betrayed me by moving to Newport Beach. I felt lost, alone, bummed. And it was in that melancholy that my dad took me to see.
Right? Now.
He said melancholy.
She said melancholy because it was a success.
Now, the board are looking at him weird or no?
So far, they're still sitting back. Just sitting back. They don't know. They
don't know
what winding it up. He hasn't even thrown the pitch yet, so we don't know where it's going. But that's your Allie's favorite part again.
And it was in that melancholy that my dad took me to see The Fast and the Furious, where for an hour and 47 minutes, I transcended my worries because I had just met my new hero, Paul Walker.
Okay, so he's 11 years old. He's recovering from that bitch Ashley, by the way, who moved to Newport.
Man.
I mean, seriously. But then his whole world turns around because he sees Paul Walker.
Right.
And now he's very reflective on that day after seeing the first Fast and the Furious.
Afterwards at Carl's Jr., I thought about what Paul taught me. I think the most inspiring thing was the fact that even after Dominic Toretto beat him in that first race, Paul still managed to bed his sister. Pretty inspiring. And another thing is the fact that he still saved Vince, even though Vince was flexing on him the entire movie and questioned his love for tuna sandwiches, which I think is a true testament to his character.
This kid is my hero. I'm telling you right now.
So much.
So if you're on the San Clemente City Council, do you just let him just keep going?
Yes.
Or at some point do you go, hey, dude, we're here to do business and you're wasting my time?
If I'm on a city council board, it's super dull. I listen to this guy all day.
For sure.
Like, he's the best person who's spoken in front of you in years.
Yes, in years. Yeah.
Okay.
And I just want to go off book here. You know, it wasn't just Fast and the Furious. He inspired me in a ton of other movies as well. Skulls, Meet the Deedles, Eight Below, Into the Blue, Varsity Blues, just to name a few. And that rhymes.
He's going deep.
Yep. Yeah.
Paul's on-screen legacy was unfortunately cut short. But that does not mean his impact on society must be cut short as well.
All right. Here's his big close. This is how he makes the most compelling case as to why San Clemente needs the statue.
Detroit has the RoboCop. Philly has Rocky. We need Paul Walker. That is why I'm proposing that the city erect a 12-foot-tall steel statue of Paul Walker on the pier. And I'm also proposing that it be sculpted by none other than Damian Ortega, best known for his installation of White Cube 2003.
I don't even have any idea.
I don't know what's happening.
The new Fast and the Furious is fast approaching. It comes out next month. And so we don't have much time. So I'm just going to ask you guys straight up, how can we get started? When can we break ground?
All right. So how can
I like
we get
the assumptive close.
Yeah.
When can we break ground? Because obviously I've won you over.
Right.
With
we all agree.
We're making the statue. It's just a question of what the details are. All right. So they sit and they have a question for Chad Kroger. And I love the certainty with which he answers this question. And then we find out, of course, it's not true at all.
Does Paul Walker have any tie whatsoever to our city in any regard?
He went to high school here.
Boom! He went to high school here.
No, he was ready. Didn't.
With, he was
is
ready
what he
with
comes
it,
back
though.
With. But wait.
Oh, his cousin did?
I'm a big fan of Paul Walker. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But no. Sorry, bro.
Sorry, bro.
Sorry, bro. Oh, he's going to be so melancholy.
This Saturday night, we're all going to be at the Shrine Auditorium for the 9th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Concert. Thanks to you buying tickets to this show, we have raised over $1 million for some great local charities, and we're going to try to add to that for Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU this year. You can go to AXS.com to buy your tickets. We're so excited to welcome for the first time Saturday night and for the first time in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Angela Johnson is here.
Hello!
What is up?
Hi. Hi.
you and Allie have already bonded over murder on TV, which I love.
So much murder.
Yes. It's so weird because that's how I relax. Like, I want to watch SVU, and if I don't see somebody getting attacked in the storyline, like, it doesn't bring peace to my soul. I don't know what happens.
Isn't that interesting? Amen.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like maybe you're damaged.
That damage comes from?
Yes, very damaged. I don't know. I had a lovely childhood, and I don't know. SVU is my jam. In my hotel room by myself, SVU, Criminal Minds, the one on A&E, 48 Hours.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That one.
Now, do you do this? When I travel, I always watch those Lock Up Abroad or Locked Up Extended Stay prison shows.
Extended Stay?
I think that's the hotel you're at. Maybe.
No, I swear to God, like every time, I don't know why, I just find it and I watch it. I never, ever watch it at home. But for some reason, it seems like it's an on-the-road thing.
Yeah.
But you do the SVU everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay. Everywhere is SVU. The one that I watch in hotel rooms is where they do the forensic files. That one.
On HLN.
Yes. Yes. On like HLN or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so much dusting. And,
That's strictly hotel room material. Yeah. Right.
All right. There. So like now we know. Hey, Angela, how long have you been doing comedy now? It's like 10 years or so?
Yes, 10 years.
And what did you think you wanted to be when you grew up, when you were a little younger than that?
You know what? I didn't know. I was kind of a bad kid. I didn't really like school very much. I wanted to be a lot of
things. Mean streets of San Jose?
Mean streets of San Jose, right there in Silicon Valley, just computer chips and don't mess with us. I didn't know. I didn't know what I wanted to be. So I was like, well, I'll be an actress and I'll go be everything. And then I'm still trying to be an actress.
And how did you fall into comedy? Like, did somebody come up to you and say, hey, you're funny naturally, you're a funny person, you should think about it?
You know what? Most random getting into comedy story. I started at a church.
At a church?
Yes. Okay, so I went to this church at the time, about 10 years ago, and it was like a creative arts church. A lot of actors, producers, type of industry people go to this church, right? So on Tuesday nights, they would do creative arts night. There was a dance class, there was an acting class, and all kinds of stuff, right? So there was a woman teaching a stand-up comedy joke writing class, and she saw me in the improv class. So she was like, hey, do you want to come and take my joke writing class? And I was like, well, is it free? And she's like, yeah, I was like, well, I guess so. So I took this class. I never wanted to be a comedian.
Really?
I was like,
so for you, it was just a one-off, and you were just going to go do it.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the first jokes that I wrote was this nail salon bit.
Which has,
kidding me,
taken off like crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's at 16 million views now on YouTube or something.
Close to 60. It's fine. 16 is okay.
Oh, my God.
It's
60 million.
Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
There's a six in there. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was like, you know what? I do this kind of nail salon character that I grew up doing, so maybe I'll turn that into a joke. And then it ended up blowing up my spot on this brand new thing called YouTube years ago. And that's how it all started for me.
And you have said, and this was so fascinating to me because we've interviewed hundreds of comedians on this show over the years, Angela, and we have heard the stories of how difficult it is to get started and to be good. But it sounds like, if I'm reading you correctly, that you were pretty good at it from the beginning. Like it never seemed that difficult to you.
Listen, I was amazing. Here's the funny thing. If I was terrible at it, if I had the typical, oh, I bombed my first time story, I would have never done it again.
Really?
That's insane,
though. Every comedian has the I bombed the first time story.
Never.
I bombed the first year story.
Never done it again because I didn't want to be a comedian. It was just a class I took for free, and at the end of our class, our graduation was we had to perform at a real comedy club.
Okay.
And so I did, and if I would have bombed, I'd be like, oh, well, that wasn't for me. I'll go back to the other class.
That's some
commitment
right there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dedicated
I was like, oh, I'll try it. We'll see what happens. This is what turned me around. So I started doing like little random open mics, like just for fun. And I still was like, oh, I'm not trying to be a comic. I just do it for fun, whatever. I want to be an actress, right? Well, then all of a sudden, this is on MySpace days when MySpace were hot. These people hit me up. They're like, hey, can you come perform at our holiday party? It's a Mormon holiday party.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well, I'm not a Mormon. They're like, no, that's okay. You could still just come and we're going to do like a comedy competition. I'm like, okay. So they brought like I don't know, 10 comics out. We ended up tying for first place in this competition and they gave me $600. And that was the most money I had ever made
Is
in my
right?
entire life in one day that I was like, I'm going to be a comedian.
Now, you're good at it, obviously.
Thank you.
Do you love it yet?
I do. You know what? It was definitely something I fought in the beginning because I was like, no, I'm an actress. Meanwhile, not booking any acting gigs at all.
Auditioning, everything.
Oh, auditions, just like quitting my day job to go to my one audition and then I don't book it and I got to find a new waitressing job. You know, the whole hustle we have out here. And so I was like, no, I'm an actress. And then you know what? It became something that was a feeling you don't get anywhere else. Writing a joke and then going on stage and performing it and getting the instant gratification, like a Polaroid picture, just right there in the moment you get it. Whereas in film, if you do a funny line, you got to wait till it comes to the theaters
and then nine months or a year.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a cool feeling you don't get anywhere else.
But at some point, you still hope to be murdered on Law & Order SVU, right?
That was goals. That was goals on goals. I said, I'm going to be an actress. I want to play a rape victim on Law & Order SVU. That was my my goal.
That is dark, Angela.
Things just went south quickly.
Well, listen, we all got dreams, you guys.
Right,
to each their
dreams.
Own. I'm still pursuing mine.
Kevin Abeans, April Fool's, 2017. He's at the Shrine, by the way. We're going to take a quick break. Come back more with Angela. I just want to remind folks, tickets are on sale now. AXS.com. They start as low as $25. Proceeds to Fisher House and Cedar Sinai and NICU. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Radio
Sports. Your mic was on. Take it easy, Allie.
I mean, way to take it down. Water's killing us.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday morning. Our guest is Angela Johnson in studio. She is a very funny lady, and you can see her on stage this Saturday night for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine. By the way, I wanted to ask you this, and then we're going to play a quick song and get back to Angela, and that is because you are of mixed race, you're, what, Mexican and Native American, right?
Yeah.
And because you have so many characters in your act that are even more different, do you ever run into people who think you're clowning on their people? And do you ever get any pushback from that?
Yeah, I do all the time. More recently than years past.
Right.
My nail salon video came out almost 10 years ago. And I got just a few people like, I'm going to protest your show. I got a few death threats. And then it went away. For years, nobody said anything. And now all of a sudden...
I think it's much easier to comment now.
Yeah.
I think it's much easier to complain.
Because of social media,
It's social media, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can give everybody your opinion on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on wherever you want. So now it's everybody gets offended and then somebody's going to start a protest to get you fired off your job or whatever it is. So
who's the most sensitive people? I'm guessing it's those Vietnamese.
You know. You know.
All right. We'll be back with more with Angela Johnson right after Green Day on the world famous K-Rock. Our old friend Rudy Cisneros joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning talking about the Raiders. It is finally official. They are moving to Las Vegas. Angela, you used to work for the Raiders. You still follow the team at all?
I did. Yeah. I cheered for the Raiders.
You were a cheerleader?
Yep, I was a Raiderette.
For how long?
As they say. One year. 2002, 2003, the year we went to the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. San Diego.
That's a good year.
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing year until that game.
Until that game.
Raiderette or what did you call him?
Raiderette.
Yes. Tell me about that experience. Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was my first experience in, like, entertainment. You know, we had to do, like, photo shoots. I had to learn how to sign an autograph. Like, it was my first experience in that world.
You and, use your hand in a pen, right?
Yeah, your hand in a pen. And you can do the one you write on the back of your check, or you can make up a whole new one.
Okay.
I did a whole new one with characters and everything. It was nice. and you know what? The fans love the Raiderettes. Like,
'cause a lot of times the fans don't
love
get a lot
anyone.
Of, the Raiders aren't really doing that well, except for your year.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. Well, last year. Yeah. Last we did okay. Year.
Right.
Yeah, we did good. And then our poor boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the fans love our Raiderettes. Does that translate to good?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So they love us. Like, there'd be season ticket holders, and all our routines that we do were numbered, 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? So when they would hear a song and they knew which routine we were about to do, you would get some of the, like, diehard fans in the stands. They would yell out our routine for us. So as soon as the music starts, they'd go, 4!
That's,
three!
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of my favorite things.
Do you interact very much at all with the players when you're a Raiderette?
No fraternization between players and cheerleaders.
Right, that's the rule. We're asking
except for the Oakland Raiders.
Okay, all right.
We were the now exception we're to the rule. You know, but I personally didn't. I did my own thing. I didn't, like, go out and party too much. So I didn't make too many friends. Now I have friends. I just did an event with Tim Brown, and we were talking about our time in the Raiders. Tim Brown was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Lincoln Kennedy mm-hmm. was one of my favorites. But I didn't really party. I didn't hook up. I don't have any juicy stories.
Why'd you decide not to come back for the second season?
I'll tell you why. Because the only reason why I even tried out is I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to play a rape victim on Law & Order SVU. And mm-hmm. I said, you know what? I'm going to try out for the Oakland Raiders, and if I make the squad, I'll do it for 1 year, and then I'm going to move to L.A., and I'm going to be an actress. And I tried out, and I made the squad, and so I did it for 1 year.
So basically, everything you've set out to do, you've succeeded at. It's kind of BS.
Except acting. Exactly. I'm still trying. The one thing. I mean, I got a couple. I got to my favorite job of all time, I got to be an extra on Friends.
Oh, really?
Okay. That was my favorite job.
At favorite the job. Central Perk?
Yeah.
Drink
That's coffee.
Huge.
I didn't say one word. I just drink coffee in the background. It's still to the day my favorite job.
Wow. Unreal. Is that the one that you tell the story about your parents?
Yeah.
And how your mom loved it and your dad just didn't really care much?
Yeah. Exactly. I was an extra for 2 seasons on the show.
Wow.
They just kept bringing me back. I was really good at drinking coffee.
I'll bet you were.
Yeah, I've exceeded at that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Angela Johnson is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. April Fool's Just is this Saturday night. You get a chance to see her live and in person. Tickets as low as $25 at AXS.com. Do you know, of course, you're friends with Adam Ray from your Mad TV show, right?
Yeah.
Adam Ray's on the bill. Have you worked with Bill Burr, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, any of the other comedians?
No, I haven't. I have not. I'm really excited to, though.
You were telling us you were a little nervous.
Yes, I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous. Okay, because I get nervous, like, when I do my own show where it's, like, my audience and, like, everybody's, like, they're all wearing my T-shirts and they're all excited. It's, like, easy peasy, warm room breezy. And I could do an hour and a half and be fine. If I do, like, 10 minutes on somebody else's show or I do a guest spot on one of my friends' show, I am so nervous because I'm like, oh, is anybody going to like me? Like, I become that little, like, high school kid, like, that's new to school. Like, am I going to make any friends?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but I will tell you this. I will tell you that the audience that comes to April Foolishness roots for everybody.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, they're mm-hmm. super happy to be there. Most of them liquored up a bit, you know.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And when you come out, they're warm perfectly
room.
Warm room, right?
Yeah.
They're perfectly
no,
happy.
They're going to love you. They're going to love you, Angela. They really. You're going to make a lot of new fans on Saturday night.
Oh,
and by the way, I just want to mention real quick before we have to go, and that is that we are still accepting your votes for the opening act contest. We did this thing. We started this thing a few years ago, Angela, where we have this huge lineup of major comedians, but we decided to give the opening spot to a listener who Ooh. Wants to do stand-up comedy. Now, they can already be doing stand-up comedy, but it's open to anybody. And we had a bunch of people this year, like 100 or something like that,
wow.
who uploaded their sets. And we put the 10 finalists up at krock.com right now so the listeners can go and vote on who they want to open the show. You're a professional comedian for a long time, and you're a little bit daunted about playing the Shrine. What about some of those people who have never even been in a room that big?
Oh, man. Good luck.
But you can pick that person by voting at krock.com. All right, so we'll see you Saturday night.
See ya. Yes, I'm so excited. We're all going to have so much fun.
We are going to have
much fun.
It's going to be great. So nice to have you. Thank you, Angela Johnson, by the way. Follow her on Twitter, at her name, Angela Johnson, and the website, AngelaJohnson.com. We'll see you this weekend.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
I've been told that Rudy Cisneros is in the building, by the way.
Oh, all
right.
Oh,
wow. Joining us right off the top of the hour. He's got a lot of Raiders feelings. I'm not sure if that's true. May have heard wrong information, but we'll find out. 8:54, it is Tuesday morning. Ralph is back from vacation and here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
WonderCon. Wonder... Whatever does a WonderCon. We're still working on that theme song. But WonderCon is happening. One of my favorite cons anywhere. Happening this weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center. WonderCon Anaheim is one of the largest comic book conventions on the West Coast. Always a good time. Tickets are currently on sale at comic-con.org. But if you'd like to go, I've got tickets to give away. A pair of one-day tickets to WonderCon this weekend at the Anaheim Convention Center. And I want to give them to a true comic book fan, not just some slouch who's just picking up the phone, dialing some numbers.
Right.
Got to earn it. And since it is WonderCon, I thought we'd ask you some trivia about Wonder Woman.
All right.
Like, Kevin, I have to tell you, the creator of Wonder Woman was, of course,
Paul Walker.
Nope.
No.
William
Hung.
Nope.
Nope.
William
Jefferson Clinton.
William Moulton Marston.
Sure.
Of course, was the creator of Wonder Woman, along with his wife, Elizabeth, and their girlfriend, Olive. That's right. You heard me.
All right.
Wonder Woman came out of a three-way.
All right.
Huh.
Right?
Right.
Right.
All right.
William was an interesting dude. He was a psychologist, a lawyer, a woman's advocate, a writer, and an inventor. In fact, here's a trivia question. Marston is credited as having a key role in creating what? Modern invention. Very interesting invention he was part of creating. Name the invention, the famous invention that Marston was connected with. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First three people get through with the correct answer. We'll get those passes to this weekend's WonderCon. Right?
Right.
What's going on? There's a lot of signals. Allie's trying to
guess. She's
just trying to guess.
Gestures with her hands. Right. A lot of this going on. I don't know what's happening. He didn't invent that, by the way. That was around for a long time before even he into the
show. Oh, you know you can't win, right? You can't call in.
I know, but it's still fun to play.
It's about being right. It's not about winning.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
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 Benedict Cumberbatch and his wife, Sophie. They just had a baby boy last Friday. They welcomed Hal Cumberbatch into the world.
Hal.
Hal. First of all, Hal's a bitchin' name. Because you got Prince Hal, right?
I don't know. Do
you got Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. You got Hal Linden, Barney Miller. Think of all the cool Hals that have been around.
Is that the full list, though?
You don't know, man.
I'm saying Hal is maybe a little older name.
Hal. Hal's coming back in a big, bad way. And Cumberbatch is leading the parade of Hals. They've got another 21-month-old named Christopher Carlton Cumberbatch. A lot of...
Sure.
His nickname is Kit. Kit Cumberbatch.
Oh, Kit. Kit Cumberbatch. Your reservation on the polo field is ready, Kit. Your pony's been prepared, Kit.
So congratulations to the Cumberbatches. I'm not going to go there. Something about a batch of kids and how you make kids. And
Yeah.
Also, Jared Padalecki had a baby. Well, he didn't. His wife, Genevieve, did. A daughter named Odette. Odette and Hal should get married. Right?
Already?
Start a race of old-named people. Old-timey-named people. So, congratulations to everybody. Hey, you know Jumanji. There's a sequel in the works starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Who is...
How long ago was that original?
1995, Kevin.
95. Wow.
That's when we first saw Robin Williams disappear into that magical board game called Jumanji. Remember? And he had to fight his way around the board with the kids in order to get out.
Right.
And that was, if I recall correctly, was that not directed by our friend Jon Favreau? Jumanji? Back in the day or no?
Don't know.
Huh. Okay.
Pretty sure that was Chris Columbus.
Jake Kasdan.
was the director.
Jake Kasdan, all right.
It wasn't Jake Kasdan? Jake Kasdan would have been a child in 1995.
That's what makes it all the more impressive.
It was a little boy director.
Maybe that's Jumanji 2.
Oh, maybe it is.
That's a new one.
What?
That's a new one.
I apologize for bringing
that
up.
One.
See what you did, Bean?
I'm sorry. It was that one's on me.
Right?
It was directed by a man named Joe Johnston, apparently.
Joe Johnston.
So.
It was directed by Joe Johnston.
So where'd you get John Favreau from?
Don't know. Did he do another similar kind of movie? Or?
Jungle Book.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm thinking of. I don't know. Right. I'm just
Iron Man.
Apologize.
Confusing Jumanji with Iron Man.
Would you stop thinking out loud?
I will.
Was it Swingers? Were you thinking Swingers?
Boy, PCU.
I've learned my lesson.
Why are you
the way that you are? Right?
Yes. I don't
make
know.
Problems.
I don't
when
know the answer.
Needn't be problems.
I really, I'm feeling terrible. That
I felt
it
like
up.
That story was moving along fine.
It was fine.
Until
yeah.
the roadblock got in the way.
I wish I knew what I was thinking
the
of.
The whole goddamn point of the story was about the game. That's all I was trying to talk about. The game.
Right.
Well, in the sequel, they've announced that there's going to be no board game in the sequel.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad we're doing that, then. I'm glad we're remaking a movie and taking the most key, significant element out of it.
Who directed the first one? Do you know, Ralph?
Man.
Joe Johnston.
Car wreck.
That one was on me, you guys.
Right?
Speaking of remakes, see the remake in Escape from New York?
I did not.
Really?
Oh, come on.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Escape from New York. It's Robert Rodriguez going to be the director, which gives me a little
bit
of
hope. Yeah, that helps.
But why?
Because a lot of people haven't seen
it. Well, here's the thing. If only we lived in a day and age where you could see any goddamn thing that's ever been put on film with the push of a button. That argument, well, a lot of people never have seen it, holds up not at all. Because if you remade a film back in the 60s, it was made from a film from the 30s, you could understand it because movies would just come into theaters and then disappear. No one would ever see them again. So remakes did actually expose people to a new story. Escape from New York, I could pull it out of my butt right now and watch it.
I would like to challenge that, please.
All right, here we go. Here comes Snake Plissken. Oh, wait a minute. That's not Snake Plissken at all. Just saying.
Hey, guys.
Oh, my God.
I know, but listen. Here, I figured it out. Here's the thing. And tell me if you can understand the confusion. He didn't make Jumanji. He directed a movie called Zathura, a space adventure, which involves kids hurtling through space by playing a magical board game. That's pretty similar to Jumanji. Now you can see the confusion, right? Jumanji, Zathura.
So you're following up your
speed bump. You're going back to it.
You're doubling down on your speed bump.
You're going back to the well.
Right. What I'm saying is at least now I'm not just an insane person who had John Favreau in the brain for nothing.
You're an insane person because you think we care about the answer to this question.
But do you guys remember Zathura?
We don't care. No.
It wasn't enough that we could just stop? Wouldn't that have just been ideal?
I just felt like we needed some closure. I felt like that was a difficult time in our nation's history, and we needed to come together as Americans again.
We need a bag?
Man.
And we need a desert. That's all we
agreed.
Need. Those are the only two things we need.
Agreed.
Oh, that murder show.
Right?
You are bumping him up to first season.
Oh, yeah. He's a premiere. He's going to be the pilot episode.
Do I get killed on the first episode, or do I at least
not
get a whole season?
No, God, no. Pilot. It might not even get
You died during
up.
The opening credits. During the theme song.
I like it. You want to get me out of the way first thing.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do, as a matter of fact.
I think Imri may know the answer to my trivia question. The creator of Wonder Woman, William Moulton Marston, had a hand in creating a very famous invention. Imri?
Yes, it was the lie detector machine.
The lie detector. Yeah! The polygraph.
Yes.
That is correct.
That?
And the polygraph also influenced Wonder Woman's magic lasso because when she wraps it around someone, they must tell the truth.
Right.
Imri, you're my girl. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. You're going to WonderCon this weekend.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Congratulations also to Jenna, another lady, and Paul, who we're not sure of. Paul could go either way.
This was a success.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last hour, we had Angela Johnson in studio with us. She is one of the performers for this weekend's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness at the Shrine. Tickets available at AXS.com if you want to buy them, as low as $25. But we thought it might be fun to give away a pair right now at 1-800-520-1067. How do we want to do it this time around?
Well, I think we're going to play Stump Rodney. Okay. So, because Rodney knows every joke that has ever been written.
He's a big fan of comedy.
So, Rodney Bingenheimer, the Sunday night, late night guy who plays the weird music. You're telling me he's also a comedy legend?
Oh, yeah.
It's not called Stump Rodney. It's called Rodney the Joke Machine.
Yeah, okay. I think if you tell him a joke, he will know the punchline.
Correct.
Like, instantaneous.
Right.
It's frightening how good he is at jokes.
All right. So if you've got a joke you want to get past Rodney Bingenheimer, you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And if you do, you could win yourself some tickets to join us. And I believe this is the Big Lee section, too, by the way, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
Which means you get the whole deal, the VIP parking and the T-shirt and the party before the show and the up-close seating and the whole deal. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you in a couple minutes on K-Rock.
The Raiders are going to move to Las Vegas. And our friend Rudy is on the phone. Hey, Rudy.
What's up, Doc? Hey, what's happening, fool?
How are you?
Raider Nation, Doc.
Hey, Raider Nation, indeed.
Hey, Ina, give me a drink, fool. Like,
what?
Bacardi, yeah.
Right. Where are you right
now,
Rudy?
9 o'clock.
I'm in some casino, fool. Like, I don't know. It's been a rough night. You know, like, I had to get here, you know, to Nevada all quick. So, you know, I drove all night.
You drove last night to Las Vegas?
I started like a week ago.
A week ago, okay.
I ended like the Dust Bowl. I don't even know, you know, like my family didn't come or nothing. I was like, if you make it, good, but I got to get there.
Okay, and why are you there today?
Because Raider Nation, Doc. Like, you know, I got to be here, represent Raider Nation. What? Silver and black, fool.
Right, but, I mean, A, it's not even the football season, so there's not going to be any games until the fall anyway. Ready? You all right?
What'd you say, bitch?
I said it's not even the football season, first of all, and second of all, they're not going to be playing in Las Vegas for at least 2 more years.
2 more years?
Yeah, I mean, they have to stay in Oakland for a while they build the stadium.
Oh, damn, dog. Like, all right, well, I got to be honest, in this casino, dog, I mean, I've been living here for, like, 40 hours. I just, like, yell at women, and they bring me drinks for free.
Right.
And I watch cable that I don't pay for and, like, just walk from place to place. It's not different than living in my grandma's house. You know, I've been doing that since 1979. Just, like, bring me a drink, bitch.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good deal, but you might want to just get yourself a hotel room.
Hey, you guys know Maria from Sesame Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know the actress you're talking about. Yeah.
Let me get at her.
What does that mean?
Tell her what's up. She's got ass, dog.
Right, but I mean, what do you want to...
I was out with my third youngest, and I was like, damn, Maria's got ass, fool. I don't care that she's like 70. Lots of boots from here to Guadalajara and back, dog.
All right, but I'm saying you want us to...
It's hot out here, dog. I'm sweaty, fool.
Right. Las Vegas is very hot, yeah.
Right, I need to get a camel.
I'm sorry?
Because I'm members, not dog, because I'm members like Moses was brown and lived in the desert, and that's what worked for him. I feel like I'm brown, now I'm in the desert. What's up, camel?
What is up, camel?
Another very good question from Rudy Cisneros.
You guys know any Jon Favreau movies?
All right, Caro Q, 106.7 FM. That was Puff the Magic Dragon.
Imagine Dragons.
Coming,
it was Imagine Dragons.
Soon to a theater near you.
No, song? At
K-Rock 106.7 listening to
right.
Rodney Bingenheimer in the morning. Rodney A.M.
It's still sort of the Kevin and Bean show.
Bingenheimer, and we're the just new morning trying to radio show.
People win tickets
K-Rock,
to foolishness, if you don't mind.
106.7 okay. K-Rock.
Okay.
OC in Los Angeles is Rocking Alternative.
Close.
Coming up next, more music from the Monkees.
All right.
All right.
Right now, though, we would like to have people try to take on Rodney the Joke Machine, if that's cool. Is that cool with you?
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine. It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy.
Hey.
You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is.
Wham, bam.
All right, we've got tickets.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine.
CDs, Rodney.
All right, take it easy.
We've got, wham, bam.
We've got tickets.
One more time?
We've got tickets to April Foolishness.
All right, and April Fools.
And these are the Bigley section, which is right up front. You get VIP parking.
The Figley.
You get the T-shirt.
Section.
Bigley.
Everybody's wearing a Figley.
You get a T-shirt. You get to sit up front. You get the hour genitals. Party beforehand. Oh. And all you have to do
Adam
is...
and Eve okay. for those.
Is play against Rodney the Joke Machine. You tell the joke. Rodney has to try and come up with the punchline. We're going to start with Cristiano in Burbank. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
hey.
Thank you.
Hey.
Welcome to Rodney the Joke Machine. What do you got?
Thank you. So, how do some Mexican people cut their pizza?
How do some Mexican people cut their pizza? Putting on the Ritz.
All right. Is that the correct answer, Cristiano?
That is not.
Mm.
It's with Little Caesars.
See?
Awful. I love it so much.
She loves it.
God, what's wrong with
what
that lady?
What is wrong with her?
Lady needs help.
All right. Cristiano, you hold on.
All right.
Next up is Ron in Corona. Hi, Ron.
Hey, what's going on, party people?
Okay.
Rodney the Joke Machine, what do you got?
All right. What sort of bagels fly?
What's flock of seagulls?
Oh.
No, no. That's not it.
What sort of bagels fly, Ron?
Yes. So, plain bagels. Plain bagels.
I like you repeating it.
Come on.
Took the wind out of me.
Right? Not Allie, though.
No.
He said the punchline twice, and she loved it even more. Let's move on to Ricardo.
All right.
In Norwalk. Hi, Ricardo.
Yeah. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, Ricardo.
Hey, I got a joke for you.
All right.
Why do astronauts hate hugs?
Why do astronauts hate hugs? 99 Luftballons.
Does that make sense to you?
Nana.
No sense. Because they like their space.
They like their space.
Astronaut space. Come on, come on.
All right, we get it. Hold
All
on.
Right. That's Godhead.
Come on, come on.
That is Godhead.
Astronauts,
right,
come on.
Astronauts.
Sean in North Hills. Hi there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to
Ziggy Stardust.
Rodney the Joke Machine. You have to.
Okay. What do you call a clairvoyant midget who just broke out of prison?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug, right?
A clairvoyant midget just broke out of prison. Ziggy Stardust.
Is it no. Ziggy Stardust, Sean?
No, a small, medium, at large.
Allie?
Allie likes every joke.
She does. Let's move along to Casey in Chatsworth.
All right.
Good morning, Casey. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's me.
Hi.
Hi, it's me.
Hi.
Rodney the Joke Machine, go.
Why did the Scarecrow win the Nobel Peace Prize?
Because the Dream Academy.
Because the Dream Academy.
Right.
Is that the punchline, Casey?
No, it's not. It's because he was outstanding in his field.
Outstanding
See,
in
Rodney,
his field.
See, Rodney, because Scarecrow.
All right.
He was outstanding in his field.
But hey, it's in his genes.
Okay, take it easy.
Oh, follow-up joke. All right. This is awful.
What's happening today? John and Glendora. Hi there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
Morning. What to do, nephew?
Welcome to Rodney the Joke Machine. Good luck.
Okay. Why was Tigger looking in the toilet?
I don't even want to know the answer to this.
I thought you knew all punchlines, Rodney.
Frankie goes to Hollywood.
Is it Frankie goes to Hollywood?
No, he was trying to find poo.
Oh, my Lord.
Right?
John.
Do we have to put him on hold?
John.
I feel like we do,
Christopher Robin is crying right now.
Oscar in Burbank. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show and Rodney the Joke Machine. Hi there.
Hello, man. That scissor one's with the gold. What do you call it?
You're breaking up. Try it again.
What do you call it? 1,000 pounds of Chinese.
I think he's saying, what do you call 1,000 pounds of Chinese soup? Is that correct?
Chinese
soup.
Yes.
Tiny or Chinese?
I want to hear Chinese. Kevin's joke.
I'm trying to listen to what he's saying.
1,000 pounds of Chinese.
Am I the only one that can't understand the joke?
1,000 pounds of Chinese soup.
Okay, that's what I said!
First of all, wouldn't soup be measured in quarts or gallons?
being a liquid?
What do you call 1,000 pounds of Chinese soup?
Adam and the Ants.
Is it Adam and the Ants, Oscar?
Go back to school, Rodney. One-ton soup.
First of all, a ton isn't 1,000 pounds.
Rodney's pissed. Rodney is on it.
Why don't you go back to school, Oscar?
And finally, let's go to Natalia from Woodland Hills. Hi there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
All right, Rodney.
What's your
Abominable Snowman's favorite dessert?
The Abominable Snowman's favorite dessert? Fine Young Cannibals.
No. Baked Alaska.
Man.
Baked Alaska.
Right?
All right. That is Godhead.
Wow. So we put all those people on hold?
Yeah.
Can we rule some of them out?
No.
We're not allowed to?
What about Caesars?
It's just Little Caesars.
I mean, you're going to do the drawing, am I correct?
Oh, sure.
All right. Allie,
why don't you pick a name?
That's a great idea.
From all these
That's
people.
That's how we usually do it.
And give okay. someone tickets instead of laughing so much.
Casey.
Casey.
The winner.
Casey, outstanding in his field.
Casey, all right.
The scarecrow.
Hey, Casey. You won tickets in the Big Lee section. You got the VIP parking, the party, and everything else. And thank you for playing.
I'm so Rod. Excited.
Yes. Congratulations. Thanks for playing Rodney the Joke Machine.
He's Rodney the Joke Machine. The Joke Machine. He's Rodney.
LNOC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
What even is tiny soup, by the way? I'm still trying to figure that one out.
I don't even know what he was
thousand
saying.
1,000 pounds of tiny soup?
Come on. His phone was breaking up.
Why would you guess tiny soup?
Because I said Chinese soup, and then he seemed to correct me. So I thought, well, if it's not Chinese, what could it be? It made sense. I said the right answer, and then he said no.
Tiny didn't make sense.
Well, of course not, but neither did anything else.
This was a success.
I'll take you all on right now.
And 1,000 pounds isn't a ton.
It's not a ton.
2,000 pounds is a ton.
Yeah, there was.
And you don't measure soup in pounds anyway.
There's a lot of structural problems with that joke.
Correct.
No wonder Rodney was so upset.
Right?
I don't blame him.
He left here in a huff, Ralph. I don't know if you saw him getting out of the building.
Even quicker, he left in a minute and a huff.
What's going on?
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for the day. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, you know how I feel about the Power Rangers, right? You know I love me some Power Rangers.
Some would say too much.
Come on, Power Rangers.
Right.
Go, Power Rangers.
Go, go, Power Rangers.
Right?
Go, go, Power Rangers.
Get me kids with attitude. Come on.
Go, go, Power Rangers. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Woo!
I need some teams with attitude.
Go, go, Power
Rangers. You heard enough?
Yeah, I heard enough of that. Thank you.
Anyway, smash hit movie now, the Power Rangers. Smash hit movie.
Okay.
Because people love Power Rangers. Who's more thrilled than the original Rangers? Right? Like Jason David Frank, who, Kevin, of course, you know, was...
The Stretch. I don't know.
He was not the
he
Stretch.
He was the Stretch.
He was the original Green Ranger.
Right. He started as the Green Ranger, but then he changed. He
did not ever become the Stretch. Stretch. I'll tell you that much. He was very excited when they asked him to do a cameo in the new film. And so he went to the premiere of the movie, and in anticipation for his cameo with him and the original Pink Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson, he whipped out his cell phone to capture the crowd's reaction when they saw the original Green Ranger up there on the screen.
Right.
So imagine his chagrin when security showed up, accused him of being a pirate. Not like an R kind of pirate, but a video pirate.
Yeah.
Grabbed him, demanded his phone, which he did not want to give up, and they dragged him out of the theater.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
Or it's awesome.
I was trying to tell security, that's me in the movie. And they said, I need your phone, and I'm like, you're not getting my phone. And he was drug out of the theater. So he has not seen the end of the movie yet. He's looking forward to seeing the entire film.
That's funny.
When he gets a chance to go back and see the rest of the movie. But poor Jason David Frank.
Maybe he'll come back in the next film as the Stretch.
Right?
Give him a chance to reprise his famous role as the Stretch. The Stretch.
Thank you. Audience?
True Detective, third season. Yes, no, maybe. What do you say? You in?
I'd say yes.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I know a lot of people pooped all over the second season, but I didn't think it was nearly as bad as a lot of people did. I think it paled in comparison to the really weird, cool first season.
That's probably what was the problem was, yeah.
I think so.
It's compared against a better one.
But I'm absolutely in for a third season. They have just announced it will be on HBO once again, and that David Milch, very creative, crazy writer, director David Milch, will be involved in the creation of the third season. So, a lot to look forward to there. We'll have to wait and see. How'd you like to live in Bela Lugosi's house?
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Kevin, of course, you know Bela Lugosi was famous for
Frankenstein's monster.
Very close. He was Dracula. He was Count Dracula.
All right. I'm going to count that in the win column.
No, it's really...
I'm going to put that
really
down as a win.
Because it's a very different character.
It's in the same, like, world. So I will accept that as a... As
what
a,
world is that? Out
world
of curiosity.
Of monsters, Ellie.
Thank you.
Okay.
So Bela Lugosi, of course, played Count Dracula for many years. He lived in a three-bedroom, two-bath Tudor home back in the 1930s, just below the Hollywood sign.
Oh.
And it's become a favorite location for other actors. Kathy Bates owned it for a while.
All right.
John Cryer lived there for a while.
Wow.
And now it's up for sale again. And here's the best part. They say Bella's ghost can be found lurking around the home.
I love it.
That's just got to be a sales point, right? They're trying.
I would think so.
It could be yours for the low, low price of just $3 million, by the way. So you got an extra $3 mil hanging around. You can hang out with Bela Lugosi's ghost.
Blah.
He was the original Dracula.
Sure.
Listen to the children of the night. What music they make. Blah. It was that guy.
Right. Yeah.
Not. That would have been Frankenstein.
I mean, close, though.
Not close.
Close enough.
Frankenstein was played by, Kevin?
Bela Lugosi.
See, it all comes
full circle.
You're sticking with it. No, Boris Karloff. Course.
Right, sure.
Karloff was famous in France.
Yeah, I'm close enough.
You're really not.
I'm writing that down in the yes column.
Far away from all the right things.
It's in the correct position in my column.
Wow.
I keep us running score during the show, and that's a positive right there.
Glad to know.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Quarterback for your Las Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr, is 26 years old today. I'm dubious about the Las Vegas Raiders.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why?
I just think, you know how they stopped having the NBA All-Star Weekend in Vegas?
Yes.
Because of the shenanigans that were going on?
That was just one weekend.
That was one weekend. Yeah. Exactly, Allie. That's my point.
Yeah.
You're going to have 8 weekends a season in Vegas with a lot of shenanigans.
So maybe some people would get in trouble in that city?
Just saying. I don't know if the Clark County Metro Police Department is thrilled about this. We'll see. I could be wrong.
They're the Raiders, so they'll be fine.
Oh, that's true. They'll be well-behaved.
Uh-huh.
Julia Stiles is 36 years old today. Nick Frost is 45 years old. Vince Vaughn turns 47. Director Brett Ratner is 48. And singer Lady Gaga is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. This afternoon, we all win with a 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Phil Kogan, who is the host of The Amazing Race.
That's right, brother.
Tomorrow?
Nope.
Hulk.
Yeah.
That's Hulk.
Take these tickets.
It's a different person.
Go to Guam, brother.
Also, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
No.
On tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show.
We're excited.
It's on Wednesdays.
I took a whole week off. Couldn't you? Didn't it die then?
It didn't. Although Muggs tried to make it die then. He was unsuccessful. And we've got your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness as well tomorrow morning.